This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Wished me luck and gave my job to someone else. Pregnancy discrimination, you bet. But I was 21 years old. I didn't have a union to protect me, and I didn't have any federal law on my side. So I packed up my stuff and I went home. At least I didn't have a boss who said to me, kill it, the way that Mayor Bloomberg
never said that.
Have said to one of his pregnant employees.
We spend the next 4 months tearing our party apart. We're going to watch Donald Trump spend the next 4 years tearing our country apart.
Democrats eat each other. Absolutely. On the stage in the South, tearing each other up is a good way to put it. And if they don't get it together, how strong will they be against a very popular president? Let's face it, who has at least 50% of the country in his back pocket. So it was wild to watch the Democratic debate because, to me, it really was like Ms. Pac-Man and Pac-Man honestly gobbling each other up, and that's what I meant by that, because it turns in this debate, having watched it from end to end, that's exactly what they seemed to do to each other. And, you know, when you have these debates, of course, the idea is you stand up there, you beat your chest, and you talk about how you're going to fix every single thing that's wrong. And what do people care about? What's in their wallet? The economy, education, health care. It's the same things that we see over and over again, which, by the way, is what you and I care about. I say this all the time. This show is what's happening in your neighborhood and what's happening in mine and what the real conversation is. So South Carolina, an important state, Super Tuesday, incredibly important for these Democrats. And on the stage, it was supposedly hand-raising protocol, but the hands were up, yet they kept going after each other for the most part. Half the time, I don't know what the moderators were doing, no offense to Gail King and Nora Roberts, but they didn't seem like Nora O'Donnell. It didn't seem like they could control what was going on with the candidates. I mean, it's almost too bad they didn't have a mute button where they could just cut them off, because if they could have done that, then they could have had a better balance of the time. But I think part of that is because it goes back to the gobbling each other up and seeing who comes out of the arena successfully, knowing that it's game on and somebody on that stage is going to be left standing and the rest will all ultimately fall. And Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, who, remember, was the mayor successfully twice and then kind of manipulated the rules, figured out a way to get around that and have the voters jump all over it so that he could go to yet a third term. So he was the person on the stage that, of course, many of them went after. And also part of that is because of what happened last time around. So it's kind of wild to watch. I mean, listen, I know everybody likes to watch The Voice and they like to watch The Bachelor because they see all the supposed sex behind the steamy glass or whatever's going on there. Bachelor dude. And then the same thing with the Voice. Oh, we, you know, somebody sings, we don't know what they look like, and then we have all these votes. But this to me was the best game in town because it was like watching a scene from Roman gladiator days where everybody's swinging the sword, only they're not connecting, but they're poking and prodding and down each other's throats, which is why, like the Hunger Games, which you heard the theme at the top of this, I'm calling this show the Hunger Games, which Democrat survives and which Democrat is the Democrat that ultimately takes on the president. So one of the things I thought that was pretty interesting, and you look at afterwards, of course, there's always the who won and who lost scenarios and who were the winners and who were the losers from the debate. And I would say that, you know, the Washington Post put Elizabeth Warren on top and said she was the winner out of this, saying that, you know, the debate performances for the last couple of weeks have been pretty strong for her, that she's building her own sort of case, as they put it, for being the general election candidate against Trump by really going after Bloomberg, which you heard there at the top, because it refers to when he said just kill it, where there was allegedly there was a woman that worked for him that it was inconvenient for her to have a child, so he said just kill it. And she played on that, and that's what you heard. So she really was kind of swinging for Bloomberg and pointed out a couple of different things, including his past support for Republicans like Lindsey Graham, the senator, Republican senator from South Carolina, and the former senator Scott Brown from Massachusetts, who she beat in 2012 in that Senate race. And she argued that Bloomberg didn't address how women were treated at his company. And then, of course, put yet another nail in the Bloomberg coffin, where she went after him for China and the business interests in China. Now, the one that's interesting to look at, I think, is Michael Bloomberg, because money is not an issue. He can litter the landscape with ad after ad after ad, political ad, because he can just spend until his heart's content. But it, to me, and the Washington Post also said this, it seemed like he was peddling kind of all over the place. And he was defending himself so much. Part of that was because of Warren, who kept hitting him up. But he didn't come back, I think, really, really, really strong. So he didn't make a great case for himself in some of the cases. And to me, the moderators were the worst of all. I just thought Gayle King, and I thought Nora O'Donnell, who I've liked her work in the past. It's nothing about anything that they do in their careers. I just think they weren't strong as moderators for this, because when you're the moderator, sorry, you have to enforce the protocol, the rules, and they didn't do it. So what happened is it got out of control. So you had booing and cheering and all of that. So the support dissent, it encourages the room to go berserk, and that's, I think, exactly what happened there. So that was to me the weak point of all this. And like I said, if you could have turned off their mics or muted their mics, that would have been key. And then maybe it would have flowed a little bit, I don't know, a little bit smoother, but it did not flow smoothly. So it was, I believe, the best game in town to watch as they went after each other big time. All right, we continue with the Hunger Games, the Democrats debating in South Carolina on the flip side.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Are you counting to the trees? Burn ashes of hope, side by side with me. Strange things have happened here, stranger will it be. We met and knew that in the hanging tree. Are you counting to the
the president fired the pandemic specialist in this country 2 years ago, so there's nobody here to figure out what the hell we should be doing. And he's defunded Centers for Disease Control, CDC, so we don't have the organization we need. This is a very serious thing. As you see, the stock market's falling apart because people are really worried, and they should be. We don't have anybody to respond.
We're here in Charleston, and you know who's going to be in Charleston later this week? Is Donald Trump. He's going to be here to raise money for his buddy, Senator Lindsey Graham. Who funded Lindsey Graham's campaign for re-election last time? It was Mayor Bloomberg.
All right, so there you go. As we continue, winners and losers from the Democratic debate. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Welcome to the show, and a big shout-out to our pals in Tucson on KVOI. Got just a ton of mail from so many of you. Actually, you must have watched the debate because you were firing off questions about the debate. To be sure, there are other things happening, including more panic over the coronavirus and the CDC outline a plan. You heard what Bloomy said, that it's Trump's fault as to where we are with a pandemic advisor because we don't have one. So it is messy around the world and scary to some. Others think it's going to pass, including the president, who thinks it's going to blow over and China has a handle on it. That's where I would disagree. I do not think China has a handle on it. We had a great guest the other day, and we'll let you hear that again later in the week, who is from China, has incredible Chinese ties, we'll say, and writes for China News, and talked about how the numbers are false. The numbers that you're hearing coming out of China she said, were Dana Cheng, rather, that they were 20 times worse, and they can't even keep up with the body count in some of these cities in China. So look out. The world could be on lockdown. That's what it said on Drudge Report. And I said, boy, I looked at a picture of the world with a mask over it, and just having flown and been in San Diego for a week and having looked at people with masks on, it is kind of one of those things where maybe you better get one just in case. Just in case. So while CBS badly handles this debate, because I think that was part of the problem, the struggle for King and O'Donnell, where you had seven candidates who were rushing around all over the place to attack Bernie Sanders, I guess, at one point, Bloomberg a little bit at another point, but yelling over each other, all that kind of stuff. Even Joe Biden at one point said, I guess the only way to do this is jump in and speak twice as long as you should, taking a little slap at people not going by the debate rules that are set up and agreed upon. And so that's what you had, a lot of overspeak. And so it became kind of a fast and furious show. And that's what it was like. It was kind of like watching, that's why I made the analogy of, hey, were you watching The Voice? Were you watching The Bachelor? You could have been watching the Democratic debate, whether you care or not, and got a chuckle or two at some of the craziness that ensued. And I did kind of a little survey as to who won this debate. Was it Biden? Was it Bloomberg? Was it Buttigieg? Was it Klobuchar, Sanders, Steyer, Warren? And it seems as though most people think Elizabeth Warren. And while that is happening, you look at what's going on with a president who has a chance at two terms. We've had the last three presidents who have had two terms. I've talked about this many, many times. You all know it. And then I look at a report that I saw about Fox News and the fact that their prime time lineup has their highest ratings in their 24-year history. How about that? Nielsen says they're averaging 3.5 million total viewers. And that's what it was during the month of February. That is very, very, very big. And then what do you compare it to? MSNBC, 1.78 million. CNN, which nobody can figure out what CNN is. They have an identity crisis to me. They put people on, and then they're gone 6 months later in many cases. There have been some mainstays, but that, I think, is part of what their problem is. What is the identity? 1.5 million viewers. 1.5 million viewers. So the highest in cable, Hannity, Carlson, and Ingram's programs were all top. Now, to me, you translate that and listen, we know there are sources for the right, there are sources for the left. And when you try to look at, okay, the Democrats are debating, they're figuring out who the candidate is, and then you look at the incumbent, when you look at news sources, it's going to be pretty interesting to see when we get closer to the conventions who's left standing and who ultimately represents the Democrats and who the running mate is. Because I think the running mate could really play a little bit of a balancing act here that might help whoever the candidate happens to be. I mean, traditionally the VP is the what? The very important person that people just want to shake their hand. But they are and can be important on the campaign trail. And I think in this case, they would be very, very important. That's what I would say. And you know what's crazy is in this presidential field, you know, we keep talking about we're a country of youth and it's about looks and it's about millennials and Zs and technology uses and TikTok and all of this. But isn't it interesting that running for president, everybody's on the older side, right? And, you know, I saw a great story about what if you went back to the 70s and you looked at the presidential campaign and you had Senator Frank Church from Idaho who said, cancer had claimed his left testicle. And then you had Jimmy Carter, who said that he had trouble swallowing because he was allergic to beans and Swiss cheese. And when he ran for president in 2000, John McCain released 1,000 pages of medical records, including a psychiatric report that talked about his, what they called, histrionic personality. And so now you've got a president who 3 years ago, what, he was 70, Donald Trump. He's the oldest person to win the presidency after a campaign where he released only a letter from his doctor saying he was in excellent health. And now you have four of the six major Democratic candidates that are 70 years or older. And, of course, Bernie Sanders, who's leading in the polls, suffered a heart attack about 5 months ago, which at first they didn't disclose. And then you've got Michael Bloomberg, just in case you didn't know, who is 78 years old. He releases a single page from his doctor who says, I love this. I'm going to get one of my doctors to write something like this for me. Just give me one pager. What kind of shape is my body in? So this is the one pager for Bloomy. He plays golf avidly and has a pilot's license. Well, thank goodness. Oh, and he is in great physical shape. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden decided one page wasn't enough, so he's got three pages, and he's described as healthy, vigorous, for 77, really, really good. Now, Bernie Sanders couldn't hide the heart problem. So he got letters from three doctors, including a cardiologist who expressed confidence that he has the mental and physical stamina to fully undertake the rigors of the presidency. And then Elizabeth Warren has five pages saying her blood pressure is 115 over 57 and a thyroid condition, along with the doctor's letter saying she's in excellent health. Nothing about whether she plays golf or throws darts or is a bowler or any of that, but just excellent health. And then Amy Klobuchar, who's 59, and Pete Buttigieg at 38 are like the youngsters. And neither of them have released medical records. Apparently, they would release them, but they haven't done it. Isn't that interesting? And then if you go back to the 90s, Bill Clinton refused to release his medical records. Wouldn't do it. But Paul Tsongas did reveal, he released his, that he had cancer. And, you know, this is there is pressure because of ages, etc., to release or talk about what kind of condition that you are in as you run for president. Isn't that interesting? I love the Bloomy part, though. Excellent, just excellent. He is an avid golfer, avid. And so it seems that everybody who becomes president is a good golfer. At least we've had that, or they like to golf. At least we've had that recently, right? Hang with us. Coming up next, we're talking to Mike Klayman.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
As the Democratic candidates head towards Super Tuesday, the Democratic debates rolled on tonight, and Joe Biden, former vice president, was asked what he would do if he found out for sure there was Russian involvement in the elections.
I would make them pay for it, and I make them pay for it economically. They are engaged now, as I speak, in interfering in our election. They were engaged, and when in fact we were the last election in 2016 against Hillary. They were. Give me a break.
And Bernie Sanders was asked what it would take for the Democrats to win the presidency.
The way we are going to beat Trump, which is what everybody up here wants, is we need a campaign of energy and excitement. We need to have the largest voter turnout in the history of the United States. We need to bring working people back into the Democratic Party.
This is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg and I are really pumped for our guest coming up in our virtual green room right now, Mike Klayman. He's the CEO of Flexion Therapeutics. And when you think of Flexion, I just had this discussion with someone in some of the innovative things that they're doing. And it was actually an athlete that I had this discussion with. And some of their products, well, all of their products are amazing, but specifically for areas where you have, like, you know, arthritis problems with that, et cetera, even more specific than that. So, Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
Kate, it's a pleasure. And just as a point of clarification, we pronounce the company Flexion.
As in
bending at the knee or the elbow, so there's kind of a connection there.
Flexion, of course, that makes sense. So taking that cue up, give us the overview of the company.
Yeah, so we've been around for 12 years, have evolved into the treatment of musculoskeletal conditions, frankly the largest unmet medical needs in musculoskeletal disease, specifically osteoarthritis, postoperative pain, and we're also aiming at low back pain. Our lead product, Zilretta, takes a commonly injected steroid, something called triamcinolone acetonide, and formulates it for sustained release following injection into the joint. So just to pull back here for a second, Kate, you know, osteoarthritis is an extraordinarily common disease. 30 million Americans are afflicted with osteoarthritis. half of those have knee osteoarthritis, and it is a debilitating disease that compromises quality of life, can be associated with depression, and also recently identified as a cause of premature death, because someone with osteoarthritis simply doesn't move around as much as someone who doesn't have osteoarthritis, and the excess mortality is associated with increased cardiovascular risk. So this is not simply a disease of inconvenience. This is a very serious disease, and we got attracted to this this condition because we recognized that there had not been innovation in the treatment of osteoarthritis for years, for decades, frankly. And we recognized an important unmet medical need associated with the treatment of the condition as it relates to injections. So steroids are injected in 5 million patients, 4 to 5 million patients a year, but none of those are formulated to stay in the joint. So you inject it into the knee joint, and the steroids flood out. And the pain relief that you get that generally is pretty good lasts a handful of weeks. And by convention, steroids are not injected any more often than every 3 months. So you have a situation where a patient in pain goes to their physician, gets a knee injection, gets reasonable pain relief, and a few weeks later knocks on the door again and says, I'm ready for my next injection. And they're told, come back in 2 months. That is not a satisfying experience. And that's why 60% of patients who are injected with immediate release steroids are one and done. They have a steroid injection. They don't come back for a second injection. And we thought that if we could take a steroid that is well known to the medical community and formulate it in a formulation called PLGA and then create microspheres, these little balls of the formulation with embedded steroid in it, inject that into the joint, and then those microspheres slowly dissolve, releasing the steroid. We demonstrate that they release at therapeutic concentrations for at least 3 months, and we've seen not only longer pain relief, so pain relief going out to 12 to 16 weeks, so 3 to 4 months, but also on osteoarthritis-specific measures of pain relief, stiffness improvement, to functional improvement, quality of life, demonstrated advantages over the existing steroids. We launched our product a little over 2 years ago now. It's been used in, we calculate, over 150,000 patients, and the stories we're hearing almost every day about how Zilretta has made such a difference for patients in terms of them being able to get the life back that they wanted to lead but couldn't. Everything from walking the dog and going up and down stairs to skiing, golfing, romping with the grandkids, to running a marathon, doing a triathlon, summiting a mountain. And what was particularly exciting for us very recently was a panel that was conducted at the Orthopedic Summit in Las Vegas in December, where we were made aware of a handful of elite athletes who had been advantaged with treatment with Zilretta. Mike Ruzioni, the captain of the 1980 Olympic hockey team that beat the Russians in the semifinals and went on to win gold. Rod Woodson, an absolutely elite defensive back in the NFL, a Hall of Famer and one of the top 100 players, recently named, and Chris Dickerson, a former Yankee and Oriole, each told their stories about what a difference Zilretta had made for them. And it was very exciting to have the chance to be exposed to them. What is, for us, the takeaway message is the stories they told were the stories that we hear from people all the time. Stories of, now I can get in and out of my truck without pain. Now for the first time in 10 years, I was able to jog. For the first time in years, I was able to accept my wife's demand that I use the snowblower when we had a snowstorm. So there's a whole spectrum of things, and we're super excited about Zilretta. We're just scratching the surface of this opportunity. We sold $73 million last year, represents less than 2% of the addressable market. We're guiding this year to between $120 and $135 million, which even at the top end would be less than 3.5%. There's just an extraordinary opportunity here to make a difference in the lives of literally millions of patients. And we're not stopping with knee. It's currently, Zilretta is currently approved for knee osteoarthritis. We have ongoing trials in shoulder osteoarthritis and also in a condition called frozen shoulder.
So I want to change gears a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Dr. Klayman, we're talking with Dr. Mike Klayman. He's the CEO and co-founder of the company Flexion. It's F-E-L-X-I-O-N. Their website is flexiontherapeutics.com, and their drug, which we've been talking about, is Zilretta. You know, you've painted this miraculous picture of pain relief, and there's another story about pain relief we hear an awful lot about, which is the opioid crisis.
Yes.
When you think about the opioid crisis and what you're able to accomplish with Zilretta, how could Zilretta actually perhaps help alleviate some of the issues associated with the opioid crisis?
Yeah, it's a great and important question, and the data would suggest that roughly 40% of osteoarthritis patients are prescribed opioids, and it turns out that if you look at the literature would suggest that opioids are a poor choice to treat a chronic pain condition, and in fact, ironically, opioids themselves can sensitize to pain over time and result in the need to increase the dose and increase the dose. So the way we think about Zilretta and helping the opioid crisis is literally Zilretta is a non-opioid alternative. Again, by historical standards, confers more meaningful and durable pain relief than opioids. And it's an alternative. So we would like to think that in a practice that's treating a patient with knee osteoarthritis, if they're getting to the point of considering an opioid, we would certainly hope they would have considered Zilretta in advance of that.
Wow. Just listening to you and thinking about 2% and then going up to 3%, like you said, is just the tip of the iceberg. There's no question about that, Mike. But I want to ask you about your other products. You know, beyond the marketed product, that you have a pipeline that includes pain therapy, and I am fascinated by that. And I know a lot of listeners are, too. Tell us more about that and the product candidates in your pipeline for it.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Kate. We are building a company to last, and we're building a compelling pipeline of high-quality shots on goal. The first to enter the clinic is our gene therapy for osteoarthritis. It's you inject the virus into the knee joint. The virus is taken up by all the cells or by the cells lining the knee joint. Those virus particles transform those cells into factories that make a powerful anti-inflammatory protein. And our animal studies, we don't have clinical data yet, but we're in the process of generating that as we speak. But our animal studies would suggest that a single injection will result in meaningful production of this powerful anti-inflammatory protein. It's called interleukin-1 receptor antagonist for at least a year after a single injection. Across multiple animal models, we've seen evidence of persistent efficacy in terms of the equivalent of symptom reduction. And very excitingly, across multiple animal models, we've seen evidence of slowing of disease progression. There is no therapy out there that slows disease progression in osteoarthritis. Of course, we're going to need to demonstrate all this clinically, but we couldn't be more excited about the preclinical foundation that we're launching this product into the clinic from.
Wow, I love that answer. Mike Klayman, CEO of Flexion Therapeutics, thank you so much.
Kate, a pleasure. Thank you.
OT Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference. An epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Sweet. I feel like I'm down in New Orleans with a lot of that music that pops in here on Mailbag. Thanks to all of you, as always, for filling up the mailroom. If this was physical mail, I would be covered in it. It's crazy. Having done a show in New York, a show in Dallas, I've talked about this, where I certainly got email, but nothing like the amount we get here. So just a quick reminder, 24/7 calorie free. You can hit us up at katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com. A lot of you concerned about the coronavirus. In fact, Eric, my technical maestro, and I were just talking about the coronavirus and the fact that I don't think people are taking it lightly now, especially when you look at some of what's being said about it. And many of you had things to say about it, like Jake in Austin says, "Yo, Delaney, what's the latest on the coronavirus? I heard you talking about Italy. I'm worried about you. Aren't you going to Italy in May? Didn't I hear you say something about that?" No, I'm not going to Italy. I'm going to Ireland. So luck of the Irish. Knock on wood. They haven't been reporting high amounts of coronavirus, but in Italy, a 45% one-day increase in the people infested with the coronavirus. Other countries in Europe spiking, too, getting their first cases, that kind of thing. But here's what's crazy. 11 deaths, 322 confirmed cases of the virus, 100 more than a day earlier. This is Italy. See, now it's all about tracing where that all came from. You know, it's finding the infector, I'll call them. But boy, oh boy, so Italy has closed schools, museums, theaters in two regions where clusters have formed, and troops are enforcing the quarantines around 10 towns in Lombardy and the epicenter of the Veneto cluster. So it's scary, absolutely. And sure, you have tourists, you have the people who live there, and then you've got the story of the guests in the Spanish hotel that have been locked down because of the coronavirus. So out of Spain, I used to live in Madrid for, I don't know, I was there for less than a year, but I wasn't even thinking of things like coronavirus, but hundreds of people confined to this hotel after an Italian tourist was hospitalized in that suspected case of a coronavirus, because they're following what's happening, and this is how serious this is. So the tourist is a doctor from Italy's northern Lombardy region that I just mentioned, where several people have died from the virus, so they can't take any chances with it, which is why they have to tell people to stay in place. All right, so for all of you listening here in the United States, this one was from Big Mac, who says, Kate, the coronavirus, you know, making the markets plunge. I know you talked about the economics of it. And now with these new cases in Europe, what is the CDC saying about, you know, what they're going to do? What's the procedure? How concerned should we be? Well, the CDC, first of all, is confirming 53 cases in the U.S. Most of them came from the passengers from that Diamond Princess cruise ship in Japan that was quarantined. Remember that? So they keep updating it. 36 of the cases are attributed to the cruise ship. Three patients were infected at the epicenter in China and later evacuated to the U.S. So that's where the concern is. And then there's confusion over this vaccine. There is not a vaccine. The president told reporters that we're very close to a vaccine. He was answering questions about it, about the outbreak, during a state visit to India. So people start to write about it. Are they really close to finding one? And the White House said no. The president was referring to the Ebola vaccine, not the coronavirus. He wasn't referring to that. I mean, I talked to someone in Switzerland today. They confirmed their first case of the coronavirus. In the United States, what they're saying is they are watching it, they're watching, and they're planning a critical trial of this experimental drug for the coronavirus. And the trial, run by the University of Nebraska Medical Center, along with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, will be conducted at about 50 sites globally, and they're going to test the medicine against the placebo. That's the protocol. So how close? We don't know. We know this. The U.S. Airlines, because of the travel warnings of the CDC, so there's their part. The U.S. Airlines waived cancellation fees for South Korean flights, because no more South Korea, same thing. Earlier on Monday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warned travelers to avoid all non-essential travel to South Korea. Delta Airlines, travelers who book tickets to Seoul, they get to change them. And the same thing with American Flyers and United Flyers. I mean, listen, the cases in South Korea just keep ratcheting up. So this is not good. I mean, the Dow lost again. Stocks plunged for the second day because of this concern. I mean, Monday we had the 1,000-point drop, and now, you know, it dropped again. And, of course, airline cancellation, so you know what some of the sectors are of where this is happening. All right, here's one more. I'll do one more on this. This one is from Carl, and Carl says, Kate, did you hear the story? I love when so many of you start with this. Did you hear the story? Did you hear the story about getting your mask now and you can get it through Amazon? I did. I heard that what they're doing is they're saying they want to, they're going to try to prevent the mask price gouging. Of course, let's gouge people for the masks because of the spreading epidemic. So, you know, all you see is people with protective masks on, and the mask shortages are affecting some countries. Italy, they didn't have enough masks in Italy. So Amazon is alerting people about face masks that are not in compliance with the pricing policies or whatever, and they're trying to keep the masks for what they would be, like a package of 100 generic blue disposable masks that's for like, is going for like $15. And it was apparently a lot less than that just a few weeks ago. And there's different kinds of masks, by the way. There are the, you know, there's one that's like almost $30, and it goes across. It almost looks like it's made of, I don't know if it's made of mesh. It's, in other words, it's thicker. You can breathe. It's got a valve in it. But it's not a cheap mask. So it's got these two breathable clips on the side of it, and it's got a way that you can just, you know, you can use it in everyday life, and it's designed a certain way. And this might be what we start to see, especially if we get cases all over the place. You know, we had the two areas of the country where they don't want anybody who has the coronavirus to be allowed in Alabama is one of them, and Alabama is one of the states where one of the towns, that's how they're thinking. And the same thing in California and Costa Mesa. So, wow, you know, go figure. I guess you should get a mask to be safe, right? I think, at least in my neighborhood, I know you can get them pretty easily. And maybe there would be a run-on mask. It's like when you have snow, and then there's no food at the grocery store. You go and all the shelves are cleared off. Crazy. All right, speaking of snow, I got this one from Joe listening to us in Chicago. He said, Kate, you need to move to Chicago. I heard you talking about how much you like it, and I heard you do a show from there one time, but I suppose you don't like the weather in the winter. Bingo. I don't like the winter weather in Chicago. Of course I don't, but I've spent some time there in the winter. I had family there. This storm is gaining a lot of strength over the Midwest, so there are going to be heavy snows in the Great Lakes, New England, Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo. It's like 20 million people, give or take, under that winter storm alert. We'll see. In Chicago, you just got to be ready for it, right? And same thing with some of the other places I mentioned, too, by the way. Music Means the band is playing me off the stage. Thanks for listening to this hour. Live well, everyone.
In Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.